Welcome to the Career Buzz Podcast by CDI College, providing the training you need for the career you want. At CDI College, our programs are designed to place students directly into the workforce, but we know that the transition can be scary at times. In this podcast, we explore what it's like to be on the ground in the careers you choose. We talk to professionals, alumni, and experts in the field. They share real stories of adaptation and innovation in a constantly changing environment. No matter what profession you choose, there's something for you at CDI College. Welcome to another episode of CDI College's Career Buzz Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lee. I'm really excited to interview my next guest. We're talking about pets today. Pets were super popular before COVID, but even more popular. I feel like everybody got a pet during COVID because it was very nice to have a buddy. Dogs, cats, whatever type of fuzzy creature you wanted to have, people got them during COVID and are now thriving with them. But like anything, they need to be maintained. Like humans, we have to go to the doctor for regular checkups. So do pets as well, to keep nice and healthy. And also, if they have an emergency, which we hope they never do, they will also have to go see a veterinarian. So today we are exploring CDI College's Veterinarian Healthcare Assistant Program, which allows students to gain valuable skills in animal nutrition, veterinarian dentistry, animal nursing, and clinical care, and much more. The courses cover essential areas so students can provide quality care as part of a veterinarian team. This practical job-ready training includes industry software, anatomy, medical terminology, veterinarian dentistry, surgical preparation, and many other areas. Students also complete a six-week practicum placement in the real-world veterinarian care setting, which is so important. I tell people, no matter what type of job it is, either it's broadcasting, which I jumped into, having that on-the-job training is so crucial. And that's why I like CDI College's programs, because on-the-job training, you can't beat. So my next guest is Claudia. Welcome. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm very good. Thank you very much. And you?
Oh, I'm so great. I'm so excited. I have so many questions because this is something totally different from anything that I've ever done. Claudia, let's jump into it. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your Claudia story, as I like to call it?
Sure. Yeah, my background is a bit unique because I'm from Brazil. I'm not from Canada originally. And in Brazil, I was a veterinary. And I worked a few years there on dairy farms, dairy cows. Then I migrated and started working with small animals. At this point in my career, my family did this huge shift and we came to Canada. And I'm not licensed to practice here in Canada yet, but I can still use my skills. So, well, initially what I did was work in hospitals, in veterinary clinics and veterinary hospitals as veterinary assistant, veterinary technician. Or like I call, that's a more generic term, animal nurse. And eventually I got a great opportunity to work for CDI College, teaching and graduating new animal nurses, the future veterinary nurses that are on the market now. And it was a challenge, but a very exciting challenge. It has been really fun and rewarding so far. And I'm excited to talk a little bit about the course and about the challenge of the profession, and what COVID brought that was different than before, and what changed.
Yeah, COVID really changed a lot of different industries, and I would assume it changed the veterinarian aspect as well, because it is a hospital you're essentially going into, or a clinic, and we had to make sure that a lot of disease spread wasn't there either, because COVID affects us humans. There were some kind of, they never were able to really figure it out, but there were some new stories about possible pet infections of COVID as well. So it's a whole new game.
Yes, definitely. It changed a lot in different levels. It changed during COVID. It changed now that it's back to the new normal. It's different than before. The demand for the profession increased a lot. And that was the huge change that is permanent. And there is no going back. It's only going to increase more.
like you said, with the demand of the pandemic of pets and everything like that, this is a good career then for people looking for something that's a little bit more sustainable, because I think that's a lot of things that people are looking for now after COVID, because unfortunately some industries died off, some industries lessened the amount of people that they needed to operate. But this one you can't really go wrong with.
CDI College course, it prepares for to become a veterinary nurse. Pretty much everything related with animal care, with customer service, the veterinary nurse will be prepared to do. And a great way to start, to enter the profession, whether the student wants to become a technician or not, is with this course, with the animal nursing course, with the veterinary healthcare course that the CDI offers. It is a 6-month course and plus the practical. And it is the best way to start, to enter this field. I have students that were fresh from high school. I had students that, because of COVID, had to do this shift in their jobs, in their profession as well. And they start here. If they want to become veterinary technicians or not, they can still fulfill, have a fulfilling profession.
6 months only, and then of course your practicum. So after that, what does that entail you to do? Can you tell us what people do after they take the course?
Well, it's so flexible and it has so much options that I'm going to start with the veterinary clinic. So in the veterinary clinic, general physician veterinary clinic, that's equivalent to our family doctor, for example. That is not a specialist, it's not emergency, it's not specialty hospital. So the general physician with a small veterinary clinic, they usually divide the job into the back area and the front area, back work and front work. The front work focus on customer service, client communication, receptionist tasks, greeting. It's the face of the company. It's the face of the clinic. So they're going to greet the clients. They're going to greet the pets. They're going to communicate with the clients as well. Lots of client communication involved. They're going to take the pets and take to the exam room, make the initial assessment, check the weight, check the temperature of the animal, do initial physical exam. Then we have the back area task. And this back area task involves animal care. It involves taking care of the animals that are hospitalized, taking care of animals that are recovering from surgical procedures, assisting with the surgery, in the pre-surgical process and post-surgical process, monitor the animal during the surgery as well. And so help restrain. Restraining is one of the main things there, what is needed the most. We can never forget restraining, and there is never enough training in restraining. That is in the veterinary clinic. Now for a veterinary hospital, bigger veterinary hospital, we're going to have similar jobs, but different tasks, because it's going to be busier. You're going to have intensive care unit. You're going to have radiology, ultrasound, many other tasks that you need to assist the veterinarian with or assist the technician with. There are other options as well. You can work in shelters, cat sanctuaries. We don't have, at least in BC, we don't have dog sanctuaries yet, but in the future, I believe we'll have with reps. And it is an option for the veterinary assistants as well, for the veterinary nurses. If the person prefers something that is more a desk job, there are many possibilities as well with health insurance, pet health insurance. In BC, we have some companies that are health insurance companies that are located here, and they also hire veterinary nurses with experience, of course, but they also hire to become claim adjunction. We also have the possibility of becoming, say, representative if the person likes, enjoy less routine and never knowing where they're going to be and traveling. So there is also this option other than laboratories. And shelters, laboratories, research facilities. So numerous options there for people to work on when they become veterinary nurses.
I didn't realize there were so many options. Again, that's why I love the programs at CDI College, because it seems like you can go for a certain program, but then it gives you plenty of opportunities to kind of go where you want to go. And maybe there's an area that you didn't even think of. Do you find after the students complete the program that a lot of them do go on to have jobs after their practicum?
In fact, I even have students that are already working. our hours in the are in the morning, so they work in the afternoon or weekends. So and as I mentioned, the market is in high demand. So majority of my students, they are hired straight from the practicum, on the by the clinic where they completed the practicum. And the ones that don't, for numerous reasons, sometimes they don't like so much the clinic they are, don't like the environment so much. Sometimes simply there isn't a placement in that moment for them. But I had some students, they received a job offer, but they had to move province. So basically, pretty much all my students, I cannot count 100% of students because of some of them change their minds.
And going back to the course that you teach for CDI College, what is your favorite part of the course?
Oh, okay. I guess I'll have to say I have two favorite subjects that I like teaching. One of them is actual animal nursing. The animal nursing part, the animal nursing component, are 3 weeks in duration. Two modules, one two-week module and another one-week module. And it is the hands-on part of the course. It is the part that even online, the students learn to assess vitals and learn about physical examination of the animal. They practice on their pets. They use their stethoscopes and auscultate the heart rate, auscultate the respiratory rate. So it is a part that always excites me because I learn a lot from my students. And they enjoy learning that part because it's very hands-on. It's the actual animal nursing part. But personally, I also love pathology model because I have this passion for disease prevention. And it is the part of the course that I teach the students what are the diseases that they should be careful with, how they should prevent disease in their profession. It's not also important, but it is, when I was studying, it was one of my favorite subjects, zoonoses, and learn the disease that were transmissible from animals to humans, humans to animals. It's always interesting to me to teach that. And it's also fun because this one is a 3-week module and we have field trips. We have guest speakers. We visit different places for the students to learn how to prevent disease. They visit pet shops and etc. So it's always fun to see them learning that part.
I always love field trips. That's my favorite part. What type of skills would you say somebody needs to enter this program with?
First thing I would say, they have to love animals. That's the basic. And you, well, never had a different student. A student that, no, I'm here, but I don't like animals. I had students that were allergic to cats. That is a bit of an issue. She was always constantly medicated, but it was cats and not dogs. So as long as you work in a dog veterinary clinic, there will be a cat or another eventually, but she can survive. Skill. Well, it must have some physical skill a little bit because restraining can be physical demanding. And it is something that you learn the techniques, but it is a bit physical demanding. So you need to be fit. In terms of knowledge, I would say it needs a little bit of background in biology. We pull a lot of things from high school, in anatomy, in pharmacology, diagnostic imaging. We end up pulling lots of things that we learned in high school, in biology, in science in general from high school. Yes, those are the main things here. Everything else, they can train. There is a math component, yes, but it's very basic. Well, my students would probably say the opposite. If they were here, they would probably complain about the math and say, no, math was horrible. But yeah, there is one module about math. And in pharmacology, we have one day that we teach, that we review what we saw in math. But yeah, there is a little bit of calculation there for medication.
I figured there'd be a little bit of math because, of course, medication is involved. Do you feel that the program prepares students well for their job at hand?
Yes, definitely. I feel that prepares well. I feel that life and hands-on training, like the practicum, makes the rest of demanding here and there. And it's a work in progress. I'm constantly updating the curriculum and putting, hearing the feedback from the students that leave the practicum. It's part of their the requirements to graduate that they fill the practicum journal. And one of the questions there is what they feel that they should have learned that they didn't so much, that they could have learned more or they could have practiced more. The answer is always restraining. Always have good feedbacks saying that, yeah, I learned this and I used this. I learned that and I used that. But restraining, it's never enough. Not even the practicum is enough for that because it's the physical part. It's the physical demanding part. It's not just learning the technique and apply the technique. Sometimes it involves you staying there, holding the restraining the animal in uncomfortable positions for as long as needed. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it can take 30 seconds. Sometimes it can take 10 minutes for to finish the setting up a catheter or drawing the blood sample or taking another sample swab from the animal or doing a near cleaning. And we have to stay there in that uncomfortable position for a while. So that is something that the students always complain that they could learn more. But it is because it is practice. They have to practice as they move on the profession.
Are the animals crying when you hold them down?
No. Well, I always feel better with large animals, with large dogs in the clinic, pit bulls, rottweilers, send them in. But Shih Tzu, Schnauzer, smaller breeds, Pomeranian, those are the complicated ones because they are small. It requires more precision and they're the squeamish ones that are usually crying. Screaming. Send me a pit bull at any time, but don't send me a Pomeranian. I'm just kidding. Send me all of them, but Pomeranians are harder.
I feel like we all have funny stories over our career. And I love to ask this question because animals are unpredictable. And I actually have a funny story with when I was doing the helicopter job, I was doing traffic on the ground and I was at my mic and someone brought a puppy in and puppies do what they want. And I'm literally on the air live and reporting on traffic and the puppy is underneath my desk. I don't know why my desk and is going to the bathroom while I'm on the report and I can't stop laughing. And everyone at the radio station, because the radio station is downtown, I'm like in another municipality. They can't figure out why I'm dying of laughter. And it's because the dog decided to steal my thunder during the thing. But I can only imagine working in a veterinarian clinic or a hospital, there's got to be a funny story.
It's pretty much our life there, so this becomes normal. So a dog pooping here and there, like, yeah, completely normal. There are, funny things happen every day. Once I had a dog, I was fixing the IV set of the dog, and I was holding his leash at the same time fixing the IV. And he escaped, not from my hand. I was holding the leash, and he was able to remove his neck from the leash. And I just look at my friend that, and the dog was running toward her, and he was going to, if he gave one more step, he was going to simply rip the IV catheter apart. So the only thing I could think on the moment to do is grab the IV and throw to her, and she caught it. We were just a silent communication. Group work is so important on this profession because we are just exchange a look, and I threw the IV to her, and she grabbed the dog. And made the dog sit down, and I was able to go there with the leash and put the dog back. The stories with poop and all the time. We're covered in poop. Sometimes we try to collect the urine, and there isn't urine at all. And then we'll go back to the clinic and give up collecting the urine from that animal because we try to walk with them and collect with a little cup. Someone walk and someone with the cup following the dog. And then we go back to the clinic and he makes a huge puddle in the middle of the clinic. So yeah, these things happen all the time.
You just got to be flexible and you've got to just be ready for anything. I would assume that's a big skill that you need to have is just, you just got to be able to roll with it.
Yeah, definitely. Flexibility. Yeah. Group work, flexibility. The skills that we when you start working as a veterinary nurse. But yeah, definitely important. And sense of humor.
Is there anything else that surprised you about the job that you maybe never thought about while you were going to school or training for it? Is there anything that you can impart to the students that maybe was a surprise to you?
I guess people surprise me still, because in this profession, it's something that you have to be ready. Is that we see the worst of people and we see the best of people. And that always surprises me. Someone that I expected that would totally neglect the pet, she becomes like the best owner ever. And people that I expected, okay, they're going to do what's best for the animals, sometimes they don't. And clients, client communication, sometimes it's hard. They can be dissatisfied and communicate that in a not so polite way. So that that part always surprises me.
So kind of speaking around that area, we talked a little bit about it, but this job is sometimes stressful because you are seeing things and sometimes pets are passing, unfortunately. Do you practice any self-care to kind of just keep yourself even, keep yourself able to do the job the next day?
Yes, I think everybody has to do that in every profession. In a profession that we are constantly facing death, not for ourselves, but to pets, to our pets and the pets from clients that we see since they were puppies, they were coming to the clinic and we follow that puppy growing up. Maybe it's a pet that grew old, was able to grow old, and we can conform with that. We can accept that. But maybe it's a pet that got terminally ill and had to be euthanized or died in the clinic. So it's always tough. And even though I'm not really in the clinic environment anymore, mental health is something that you always have to prioritize. And mental health for this profession sometimes means that when you are not working, you cannot be thinking about that anymore. So you have to completely do something that take your head off. And my advice for that is having a hobby that doesn't relate with the pet industry at all. It doesn't relate to your pet. Maybe, of course, you still have to take care of your pets, walk them outside, but have a hobby that doesn't relate to that. So we can step out of the clinic. When you are not working, when it's not your shift, you have to step out of it. Take off this hat and live in the moment with your family. And have a hobby. For me, it's hiking. I love hiking and take pictures with my family, take photographs. Sometimes we even make photography competition between us. So we go hiking and take pictures, and then we compete who has the best one. It is a moment that it's that moment. I'm living that moment with my family. I'm doing a hobby, I'm doing things that I love. For each person, it's going to be different. In each stage of your life, it's going to be different. Leave it in the clinic.
That is great advice. Because like I said, as much as your job, there's a lot of joyful moments when you guys are helping the pets. There are some sad moments too. And it's just important to keep your guys' self healthy so you can continue doing the great work that you do and help people's fur babies. So thank you for what you guys do, because what you do is great. And going back to the program as we close this, would you say that the program is worth it? And how do people get involved?
Good question. Well, I didn't do the program myself. I have a different background. I only teach them. But based on the feedback of my students, all of them are able to find meaningful professions and follow the profession that they love. So yeah, I believe it's very worth it. And also, some people would not consider an easy course. You have to be available for the 6 months and really compromise with that. Okay, I'm going to take 6 months of my life and I'm going to do this course. Because it is intensive. But once you finish, you're going to have a rewarding profession. That hopefully it's your passion.
If you love animals, I think this is a great space to get in that. So again, thank you so much for coming here today and telling us all about it. And I love all your stories too. So thank you so much. As we know, like you mentioned, the pet care field is just a growing industry with over 58% of Canadians owning pets. And of course, that number bumped up during COVID. Canadians spend over $9 billion on pets, which is a lot of money. Pet food and veterinary care since 2019. And like you mentioned before, Claudia, more and more demand for all types of aspects in the veterinarian clinics, veterinarian hospitals, many different jobs and positions, as well as, of course, the program that CDI College is offering right now, which is the Veterinarian Healthcare Assistant Program. So if you want more information about this wonderful program, or you want Claudia to be your teacher, all you have to do is go to cdicollege.ca for more information. Thank you again so much, Claudia, for joining us, and I hope you have a lovely afternoon. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Career Buzz Podcast, brought to you by CDI College, the training you need for the career you want. Make sure to continue the conversation by following us on our social media pages. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any episodes. And for more information about CDI College, check out our website, cdicollege.ca. Talk to you next time.